Let's imagine Tom Cruise as Lone Star.
And her head flies off.
I now pronounce you Frog and Pig.
What even is this movie?
Well, you got the peen.
What's up, movie nerds? It's Rick Swift.
And Madison Swift.
That's right. It's the Film Grouch Show. And we are the Swifts. Hey. That's pretty catchy. We're the Swifts. And we are back, baby. We're back. All the rumors. Yeah, I'm thinking we're back.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I know.
We're going to talk about a movie.
We are going to talk about movies. That's what we do. We are currently on a he pick, which is me. I'm a he. I am a he. Pronouns. Yeah, my pronoun is, I don't talk about that. So anyway, we're on a he pick. And if you're not familiar with how that works, the she pick and the he pick, it's like the 6 degrees of separation, the Kevin Bacon game kind of thing, where you take a connection from the last movie. A couple other podcasts do this too. It's not that novel, but I like the he pick, she pick element of it. So right now we're on a he pick off of Madison's she pick, which was
Licorice Pizza, a movie which featured neither licorices nor pizzas.
Or records, which is what Licorice Pizza is.
Mm-hmm.
So this particular movie, I will say at least they mentioned what the hell the movie's title means.
They did.
I was like, oh, they did it. They told us. That's so cool.
They did.
Yeah, they finally told us, guys. Yeah, so this is off of Paul Thomas Anderson. I will call him PTA from here on out because, or just Anderson.
The Parent Teacher Association?
Yeah, like the PTA. Like, let's go to the PTA. By the way, I'm putting out a this is it. This is the last Paul Thomas Anderson movie we're doing.
Yes.
Please. Thank you. Good. Okay, good. I was hoping your sheet pick isn't going to be another.
Well, I don't know.
It better not be.
I don't know who directed the movie I chose.
All right. Well, I wrote down on a little sheet of paper what I thought it was going to be, and it wasn't that. So now all my research is for naught. So that'll be great. But anyway, we're on my pick right now. And again, it was Paul Thomas Anderson who directed Licorice Pizza. He also directed this. He's clearly got some kind of, like, I don't know, issues or something, because he doesn't want to tell like a very clear story. It's like he picks these stories,
and you feel like you're just plopped into the middle of a sentence and you just don't know what is going on, and all these characters have these crazy names, and you just have to kind of figure it out as you go.
Oh my god, they called Joaquin Phoenix, by the way, who's the lead, he's Larry Doc Sportello.
And they called him Doc.
They called him all three of those names throughout. Yeah. And I'm like, oh, that's him. Like, it took me a second to be like, oh, right, that's our hero or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, now that I've announced the movie, let's take a real quick...
No, you didn't say the name of the movie.
Oh, I didn't say the name of the movie. You're right, we talk about Licorice Pizza.
Okay, so the name of the movie is... Dun, 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 dun.
Inherent Vice. That's... So we found out what that is because they actually mentioned in the movie what it is. And it's something like, it's an insurance thing, apparently. And it's like, you can't insure people or certain, like, you can't insure eggs on a boat because eggs are going to break, right? Like, you know that's going to happen, guys. Come on. You know eggs are going to break. So, yeah, that's what inherent vice is. It's like, you can't insure that because there's inherent vice associated with it or something. I don't know. Anyway.
Things of that nature.
So let's listen to the trailer right now real quick. So I'm going to go ahead and we will play the trailer now.
It's the tail end of the psychedelic 60s and paranoia is running the day. If it isn't Charlie Manson, it's the LAPD or the FBI or the mysterious body of something called the Golden Fang.
So what's all this now?
Everything's gone from groovy to where you at, man, suggesting a high level of fear or discomfort with the way things are headed. Hey, you. This is Doc Sportello. He's a private investigator.
Whoa.
Are you all right?
Am I?
Are you?
And like a peculiar planet in today's horoscope, in through the door walks Doc's ex-old lady Shasta and those five little words.
I need your help, Doc.
It's too bad that fear should be running sunny Southern California as in days of old, like the Watts riots or the Hollywood blacklist.
Look at the greedy little hippie.
But every once in a while, a hero like Doc Sportello shows up to help salvage his generation and guide it back to more merciful shores.
Is that a swastika on that man's face?
No, it isn't. That's an ancient Hindu symbol, meaning all is well.
Maybe you'll just want to see the movie, Inherent Vice.
So, yeah, you know how I always say trailers give away too much in a movie?
I do.
Well, this is like, they showed everything, but you have no idea what really is going on. Like, you don't have any context about all these different scenes. So, actually, they showed a lot, but they didn't give anything away. So, that's interesting.
They didn't, and the trailer made me want to watch the movie, but when I watched the movie, I didn't really care for it too much.
You didn't like the movie?
No.
Okay, well, let's talk about why I chose this movie, okay?
Yes.
So, my dear departed buddy, H-Man, who used to write for the site, he's no longer alive. Mm-hmm. He reviewed this, and I when I was looking for, you know, the he pick, I saw this, and I saw that it has a ton of people in it. That's one of the things Paul Thomas Anderson is known for, is, like, his big ensemble cast, and so I was like, well, Madison can at least get some good fruit from this, if nothing else. And then I read his, or I kind of browsed over his review. And I'm going to read a quick excerpt from his review. I say quick. It's a couple of paragraphs, but that's fine. So this is not me. This is our buddy H-Man. This is what he said. Larry Doc Sportello, Joaquin Phoenix, is a stoner private eye in 1970s Los Angeles who is visited out of the blue late one night by his ex-flame, Shasta Faye Hepworth, Catherine Watterson. This is another one of those where they called her, like, the three different names, too, all the time. So yes. It was like, oh, okay, that's her. She tells him about a plot against her new boyfriend, wealthy real estate tycoon Mickey Wolfman, Eric Roberts, in which his wife, Sloane, Serena Scott Thomas, and her hunky lover plan on having Mickey committed to a mental institution. Surely enough, Mickey goes missing, and not long after, so does Shasta Fay. For Doc, all of this is only the tip of the iceberg, as he is soon contacted by other clients to go searching for other missing people. People who are all connected to Mickey Wolfman in some way or another. However, when one of the missing persons cases turns into a murder case, Detective Bigfoot Bjornson, who is played by Josh Brolin, steps in and starts pressing Doc for answers. From there, Doc's investigation takes him on numerous tangents, donning various disguises, interacting with some exceptionally unsavory characters, including neo-Nazis, missing musicians, drug runners, and a lecherous dentist, played by Martin Short, in what becomes one of the most spectacularly confounding noir plots this side of the Big Sleep. At the center of all this discombobulating madness is Doc, who sticks to a rigorous drug regimen as he attempts in vain to make sense of any of it. Despite his best efforts, though, at the end of the day, he is just as confused as we, the audience, are. I tried to paint the plot in broad strokes in order to give it as concise a description as possible. However, there is no concise way to break down the plot of Inherent Vice, which goes off in about 1.5 million different directions and continues to twist and turn all the way to the end of its 2.5-hour runtime. It's the kind of scenario that Raymond Chandler would have cooked up had Raymond Chandler been a habitual pot smoker who occasionally dropped acid. So, yeah, that's what H-Man said about it. That's not his whole review. You can go to filmgrouch.com and check out his whole review if you'd like. I highly suggest that you do, because he was a tremendous writer. So,
yeah, I agree. It was a long movie. There was a lot going on. I still don't really know what it was really about.
Well, it was about, like he said, it was about this. His ex-girlfriend comes to him and says, hey, I'm having some moral qualms about, she says, I have some moral qualms because my current boyfriend wants to commit Who is it? It's Mickey Wolfman, but it's Mickey and his wife.
Right.
And his wife and Shasta's boyfriend are fucking, and they want to commit Mickey, who is a Nazi. He's technically a Jew, but he wants to be a Nazi. And that's in the trailer, by the way.
Right.
That was one of the things that made me, like, I remember when I saw that trailer the first time, I was like, oh, that's very interesting and weird. And then I saw Paul Thomas Anderson, and I always get him confused with Wes Anderson. So I was like, oh, I don't want to watch this now.
Right. Do-do-do.
Yeah.
So when the movie first starts, this guy, Larry Doc Sportello, he's hanging at a home. I think he's getting high or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, for sure.
And then this lady appears, Shasta. Weird name. I feel like it's the same name as Soda. And by the way, this is the second thing we've watched in a month that had a character named Shasta. Remember the Midnight Club?
Yep, I was going to say Midnight Club.
Yeah. So she just appears and she's like, Doc, I need your help. And I'm thinking, oh, he's a doctor. She's coming to him in the middle of the night. She probably needs a certain procedure to, you know, eliminate her body of something. And I'm like, oh geez, this is that kind of movie. But no, she's having some kind of affair with a married guy. It's a scheme entanglement. I think she used those words, scheme entanglement.
Yeah, you're right.
So she's in this weird scheme, and they want to get somebody committed. And then I kind of like zoned off, because in my notes I wrote, I'm bored now.
You already got bored from that early on.
But then I wrote down that her car is huge. And then I also have in my notes that it takes place in the 70s. And I think that stuff that takes place in the 70s is kind of boring anyways. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I already had one strike against it.
Yeah, they were comparing it to Chinatown meets The Big Lebowski is kind of what they were saying online about it. I did have some piece of interesting trivia, though. The character Sorta Leger.
Another weird name.
Yeah, they never talk about who that is. Apparently, she appears as a supporting character in the novel, and although she does give helpful advice to Doc, she's not the narrator. But while writing the screenplay, PTA decided the film needed a female voice and tailored it specifically for his friend, Joanna Newsom, and the character also fulfilled Anderson's desire to preserve Thomas Pynchon's prose, which is nearly identical to Sorta Leger's narration. So that was a woman I kept going, is she real? This girl that, like, every once in a while he'd, like, turn his head and be like, boo, and she'd be, like, narrating. At one point she was just in the car and then she wasn't. And I'm like, is this going to come back later and mean fucking anything?
And that was another thing. You never know, like, who was the narrator. And you never know if the whole thing was real or was it happening in this guy's head. Was it some kind of weird dream because he was always getting high? Who knows?
Yeah, that's one of the biggest, I guess, like, accuracies, if you want to call it that, because I guess the novel is like that too. It's very, because I get H-Man wrote in his review actually that he read the novel, so he actually read it, and he said he's like, that's kind of the prose in the novel is very like, wait a minute, what the fuck, you were just talking about this and now you're seeing police officers like in their full uniforms, like at a barbecue, and it's like, is this real? Is any of the Benicio del Toro, the only reason I realized he was real is because James Brolin interacts with him after he gets arrested.
Yes.
Okay, so that's the thing. So the whole case essentially is find Mickey Wolfman. Because Wolfman goes missing.
Okay.
And Mickey Wolfman is Eric Roberts. And every place that Doc goes leads him closer and closer to finding Mickey Wolfman, but it also leads him to more cases, like little side cases, like a side quest. He ends up like finding out that there's somebody else missing. Oh no, that's right, he works out of a gynecologist.
Okay, that was the next thing I was gonna say. His office, apparently he has some room in the gynecologist's office,
maybe, or it's all in his mind.
And he just works out of there, and he sits there sometimes with an oxygen mask on.
Did he? Oh, that's right. Yeah, he's probably huffing oxygen because of all the drugs he was taking. Oh, yeah. So now Chalky comes in, the guy who's Chalky from Boardwalk Empire.
Because he just got out of jail, and he wants to hire him
to find the skinhead.
Yes.
The skinhead.
And someone he was in jail with.
Right. The skinhead owes him money or something like that. And that's, like I said, now he has to go find this guy. But while he goes to find this guy, it unravels more about Mickey and how Mickey is all tied into it.
Yes. Okay. So he goes to some place called Chick Planet Massage. I think that's what it's called. Or maybe that's just what I wrote down. And I wrote down, this is gross. I think something nasty might have been happening.
Hong Chao. Okay, I had to look her up. Because I'm like, where do I know this chick from? Do you know where you know Hong Chao from?
No.
The menu. She's the one that says, you'll get everything you deserve.
Oh, yes.
And nothing more.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's the same lady. Holy shit. She was also in that terrible shrinking movie that we watched.
Downsizing?
Yeah. I think that was her, too. But anyway, so Hong Chao, she says, pussy eating special, you know, and I'm like, oh, Madison must be loving this right about now.
That must have been where I wrote this is post.
That's exactly where you wrote it. And then I wrote thump because he gets whacked in the back of the head.
Yep, he wandered around and he got KO'd, and then all of a sudden there were cops.
Well, as the girls were
taking care of business.
She was eating the other girl out, and he's just like, whoa. And then he like walks, and then he gets hit in the back of the head. And then he's ends up next to the guy, the skinhead he's supposed to be looking for, who's now dead.
Yes.
And this is when Bigfoot comes in. Bigfoot Bjornsson, who we've already seen, by the way, in a TV ad where he was like some kind of weird blackface afro, like car salesman
real estate ad or something.
Oh, that's right. It was real estate. And that's what led him to the Pussy Palace or whatever, because at first I thought, oh, this is like one of those real estate trailers. Like they're setting up like, what is that place in Back to the Future? Like coming
Lion
soon.
Lion Estates.
Yeah. Like Lion Estates. Like it's going to be like one of those things where you go to like a trailer and then there's mm-hmm. like, hey, you want to buy some Lion Estates, buddy? But instead it was like, oh, it was a Chinese massage den.
It was
den.
Channel View Estates.
Yeah. Channel View Estates. You wrote that down. Thank you. But mm-hmm. yeah, I wrote down the stuff
with
about
Michael
the massage.
And I wrote down, what kind of doctor is he? Referring to Doc.
Yeah, well, he's at the gynecologist office. Maybe he's a gynecologist.
I did not want him inspecting my lady parts. No, thank you.
Wow,
anyways,
I don't know.
After he gets KO'd, then he gets taken into the police station. Confusing conversations ensue. Benicio del Toro shows up. And then Josh Brolin, his character, who is referred to as Bigfoot, drives him home. And while he's driving him home,
yep,
he's eating a what looked like a chocolate pop, but we find out later it's a chocolate covered banana, and he is like enjoying eating that chocolate covered banana way too much.
What was that movie with Ben Stiller where he plays a gay FBI agent? Flirting with Disaster. In Flirting with Disaster, he plays this FBI agent, and he's like in love with the guy who's like, you want to be a dinosaur? Be a dinosaur. The guy from Stepfathers. They're FBI agents.
Stepbrothers.
What did I say?
Stepfathers.
Stepfathers. Sorry. Stepbrothers. But he's his stepfather. The guy who's like, you want to be a dinosaur? That old guy.
Yeah.
And they're like in love with each other. So it's like going back to that. I was like, this is bizarre. Yeah. He was really going to town on that. Like first I wrote popsicle. I wrote popsicle eating. Why? Question mark, question
yeah,
mark.
Yeah, it was
mark.
Very
and then
bizarre.
I wrote fucking hippies.
Yeah.
Oh no. And then we're getting to the part in my notes where I had to ask you what the hell I was talking about.
Yeah.
Why did I write this vomit and shit and a hard on?
Well, this is what I wrote. So much fucking hippies and hippie shit. Oh my god, gross.
Who are they talking to? About the vomit and the shit. And so this, some guy was having a shit.
Owen Wilson's character's wife was.
Oh, Owen
the
Wilson's
gross bathroom
character's
story
wife.
And the photo reaction.
And she was played by somebody that I like. Oh, I was like, oh, look, it's that person. Ah, oh, God, I can't think of her name now. That's all right. It doesn't. There's so many little cameos in this, and they were talking about
there's
that too.
There's too many characters, and
yeah.
You didn't keep anybody straight, and they all had weird names, and they, like, half of them you didn't even, if they said their name, it was, like, really quick, and they said it once, and it was like, was that somebody's name, or did they just, like, cough?
Yeah, and then with
bizarre.
Well, with Owen Wilson, he had many names because he was going undercover for the cops.
Yeah, that too.
And he was, like, so essentially Owen Wilson's character, and you have to know this when you watch the movie, Owen Wilson's character owed a debt to some really bad guys, and he also owed a debt to the government because he was working for the government to expose the bad guys. But he wanted to get out of all of it. He's like, I don't want to be in the bad guy business or the good guy business. I just want to like live my life. I think his, didn't they have a baby? Oh yeah, they had a baby, because that's when he looked at the baby pic and went,
yeah, that was funny.
That was the best. That was the best part. That's like pure Joaquin Phoenix. He can just be like, whatever, and then all of a sudden he's just like, and go right back to whatever. Yeah, I wrote artsy fartsy right after that, though. I wrote titties, ties? Titties,
ties? Oh, okay, so then he goes undercover to get information, and then I wrote, I guess he's a detective, because I was confused as to what his job is.
Yeah.
And then I wrote that this movie is so confusing, and I don't really get it, with a sad face.
And then Reese Witherspoon is a DA who...
Wait, I'm not there yet. Then I wrote down the closet of ties. So there was this whole...
Oh, the titty ties. Now
the ties had pictures of women with their boobies hanging out.
Yeah, by the way, when we were watching Quiz Lady, I was like, what did we just watch where there was like ties like this, where they were showing all these ties? That's right. It was Inherent Vice. Duh. Mm-hmm. So yeah, in Quiz Lady, the Alex Trebek character essentially has like...
He's, bow ties.
Yeah, bow ties. He's never worn the same bow tie
twice. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's like a wall of bow ties. But in this one, it was better because it had titties.
So he was going undercover to the missing man's house to try to get information.
Yeah.
And he saw the lady... and her boy toy or whatever. And there was like weird conversations that happened.
Witherspoon or somebody else?
No, the woman, Shasta's.
Oh, the Nazi.
Yeah, the Nazi guy.
Yeah, I was like, wait, is that the guy that was plotting with them? And then I realized it was this blonde guy who was this actor.
He was like a...
He's the one that owned the boat, I think. I don't even know.
He was like a personal trainer. I don't know.
Yeah, he looked like the blonde... guy in the one where you wear your underwear. It's astounding. Time is fleeting. Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah, he looked like that guy when you finally saw him. But then there was that big Nazi guy, and I'm like, what is the deal with this big Nazi guy? Is this her boyfriend? And then he had the Shasta tie. He had her tie. The Nazi did. And I'm like, oh, I think this is their way of saying, oh, he's definitely been with her.
Yeah.
Sexually.
So then Doc leaves the house, and then he just gets his ass kicked out by the car, and I didn't understand why that was.
When did he get his ass kicked? Who kicked his ass?
I think it was Bigfoot, or it was cops or somebody.
Is that when he got arrested? No, he had already been arrested.
Then is when he meets up with Reese Witherspoon on a bench, which I thought was interesting because it was a reunion of that Johnny Cash movie.
Yep.
Because they were both in that.
Walk the line.
And then he gets, then he gets taken in for questioning. And then he makes a dragnet joke.
We wrote down dragnet too, but then
I wrote it down because you said it.
But then we found out later it was actually Adam 12. Because Bjornsson, Bigfoot Bjornsson actually did acting work. Because everybody in California is like an actor. That's kind of like the joke or whatever. It's like, you know, he's a cop, but he's also been in Adam 12. So that's why he said, oh, I caught you on ABC last night on Friday. And I'm like, oh, is that Dragnet?
That's right.
But it was because they were FBI. And the one point, the big FBI guy like picks his nose. I was like, oh,
gross. They were all just sitting there in the room picking their nose.
It was so bizarre, man. It was shit like
and
that.
And they didn't have tissues. So what were they wiping their boogies on? That's gross.
Yeah, FBI.
That is something you do in your bathroom. You don't do that when you're in the room with people and you don't have tissues.
And where does he get the beware the golden fang? Who tells him that? Somebody like whispers it to him or something? Is it Hong? Is it the Chinese chick?
It was the Chinese lady.
Yeah. So she says at some point, beware the golden fang. And then we're like thinking that it's like some kind of like triad thing or something like that. But it's turns out there's two misdirects on the golden fang thing. Because at one point he goes to a dentist's office and it's literally a giant golden fang. It's a fang with a gold tip at the top. And it's freaking Martin Short. And you're like, why is Martin Short in this movie? And of course, Martin Short sings. The end. What?
Give the whole bunch.
Oh, yeah, I know. Well, I got Beware the Golden Fang. I got Owen Wilson. And I said, this guy's movies all have sucky music.
He has Filthy Dirty Feet.
Dirty Feet. Yeah, I wrote that too.
Spotted Dick Band. Spotted they went to see the Spotted Dick Band, and that's where you found Owen Wilson.
I can hear your penis growing. Madison, I can hear your penis growing.
I don't have a penis.
That was That was Reese Witherspoon. He said that to him. Yeah, so he obviously got some spotted dick of his own.
There are too many characters and I can't keep them straight. I am bored.
I wrote bored, tired the exact same time.
He keeps talking about his ugly baby.
Oh, God.
Who is Bigfoot? That's before I figured out it was Josh Brolin's character.
I knew that right away, but
Vigilant California.
Vigilant California.
What was that?
I think that's a real group that existed. Because you know how Paul Thomas Anderson likes to, like, hey, did you guys ever know about this? Or, hey, remember this? They were like, they were like bird dogs. Like, they'd, stir up trouble and then, like crack down on it. So it'd be like if they were like anti-black.
Oh.
And they'd be like, let's go and do a bunch of damage in black neighborhoods so and make like it look like blacks did it.
Rebels and stuff, bad guys.
They were like bad guys, essentially. That's who Owen Wilson was working with.
Okay. And then some dirty whore, the dead guy's sister, was smoking around the oxygen.
I wrote that too, smoking around nitrous gas. That's just bad. Seemed like a dumb idea.
That's when he was...
No shoes at the hospital. He was walking around with no shoes.
Office barefoot. Yeah. Gross. That's when he was in his office at the gynecologist's office. He had the oxygen mask on him. And then the lady came in and was talking to him. And one thing that I did find interesting about this movie was every time he was like taking notes, the camera would show what he was writing down. And you could see he was actually writing notes. He wasn't writing just garbage. He was actually taking notes. Like, he actually cared about what he was doing?
H-Man mentioned that, though, in his review. He actually said that he wrote in his notes a few times, like, am I insane? Is this happening? Because that was, like, in the book, too.
Yeah.
So his notes weren't necessarily about the case. They were just like,
yes, they were.
I think I'm totally tripping my balls right now.
Sometimes it's the case, though.
But I thought, like, when he was talking to Chalky, he wrote hallucinating or something.
Yes, he wrote that.
And I thought, is he talking about Chalky? And I'm sorry I'm calling him Chalky. I don't know his name. I know it's Mike or something. And I know he passed away too, so that's sad. That sucks.
His character's name was Tariq Khalil.
Yeah. Well, what's the actor's name? Michael something?
Michael Kenneth Williams.
Yeah, Michael Kenneth Williams. R.I.P. Yeah, so now's when Martin Short comes in. First they do the Ouija board thing.
Yes.
Remember the day with the Ouija board?
Yeah, first they did a flashback and they used a Ouija board to try to find drugs. And I wrote that was funny.
Interjection. I don't want to be a dizzard here, but let me just say, I think we should definitely give a little shout out to Ryan George's latest
video. Was funny.
Ryan George did this video about what would Ouija boards be like if they were invented now. And
That was a very funny video.
It was pretty good, yeah. We like Ryan George a lot. So
YouTube Ryan George.
Yeah, he also does pitch meetings. He has his own channel now for pitch meetings. So you probably know who he is, but maybe not. Not everybody does.
Check him out.
Yeah, he's definitely good. But yeah, the Ouija board thing now makes me think about that.
So he walked. So in the little flashback, they were running around and trying to find this address
for drugs.
To find the drugs, and then they go back to the now, and in the now, the address that they went to was where the Golden Fang building was.
Yes, the Golden Fang with Martin Short, Dr. Blatnoid.
Yes, and that was Martin Short. Golden Fang is a syndicate of dentists. So it was actually legit, I guess.
Yeah, that's what was funny about it. It was a syndicate. It wasn't like a mob syndicate. And remember I was telling you why the dentists have different insurance is because they actually have a very strong syndicate. Because when Medicare came out, the government was like forcing, I don't know, I'm not that good about talking about this stuff. But essentially, there's a video and this dentist was like, you don't know your insurance is terrible because of us, because we made sure we weren't glommed on to the medical insurance because they were like screwing over the doctors.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is the doctors would always like shit on the dentists, you know, because like pecking order kind of thing. And so the dentists were like, yeah, fuck you. We won in the end because you guys are so smart. But guess what? You guys are the ones that are shafted on your insurance, whereas we aren't. Essentially. So it's interesting. Yeah, the syndicate thing. And then I wrote German cocaine from Darmstadt. Because when he said this shit's from Darmstadt, I'm like, that's Germany. So German cocaine, that must have been like a 1970s thing. It was before like Colombia got all involved or some shit. Oh, and this is where we meet Chipponica. Speaking of dizzards.
Oh.
Wow. Voorhees Krueger was the name of her father's legal firm, by the way. Voorhees Krueger. So for you who don't know, that's Jason Voorhees and Freddy Krueger.
Yes,
so
yes.
That was an obvious that nod. I'm like, hey, Paul Thomas Anderson.
Nice.
I didn't know you were kind of cool.
Yeah, I wrote down, it finally got interesting 1.5 hours in.
Yeah, and it's like, again.
For like 10 minutes.
It's like a 2.5 hour movie. And yeah, I wrote cult signs.
Yeah, they were talking about cults, and they rescued this girl, I don't remember, Chimpokemon or whatever her name was.
Chimpokemon Chiponica.
Yeah, that girl. And so they were talking about that, and I'm like, oh, they're going to go into this cult place, and they're going to rescue other people. This could get really interesting and cool. Yeah, that didn't happen. But anyways, then, oh, do you have anything else to say about that?
I just have pay no attention to the man with the swastika.
Yeah.
I don't know what that's referring to.
The guy had a swastika on his face.
Yeah.
And they were talking about how it didn't mean Nazi.
Oh, this was the Hindu guy. Yeah. Oh, so this was in the, this was when they finally meet, they okay. find Wolfman, right? Because this is at the place.
Well, before that, I wrote down trampoline death. So somebody died on a trampoline.
Okay. They killed, I mean, spoiler alert, if you've never seen this movie, but they kill Martin Short's character
mm-hmm.
by making it look like a trampoline accident.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
They actually give him a hot, what they call a hot dose. They gave yeah. him heroin.
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty fucked up because that's one thing about this character, Doc. He doesn't fuck with hard drugs. He only fucks with pot.
Yep.
And when they, well, I'm jumping ahead a little bit. But yeah, that's what I have right now. I have, and then I put, this is just a total just question on my part. Why are they called hippies? Like, does anybody know why they're called hippies?
I don't know.
Like, write into us and let us know.
I invite you to search on the Bing.
I invite you.
So then, I wrote down one of the characters said, fucking zoinks. He really just said that. And I don't remember who said that, but somebody actually said, fucking zoinks, like a Scooby-Doo character.
Yeah.
So then he went to the insane asylum and it was weird. It was like a cult. He did find the missing guy, which was the
Wolfman.
Yeah, Wolfman. And he was crazy. But he did not find Shasta Soda.
No, not yet. She right. finds him. Mm-hmm. I got some notes on that.
I got notes on that.
Okay.
And then I wrote down, why do they keep showing people from the neck down? It was like Muppet Babies. They kept showing people from the neck down. It was weird. They
what?
Didn't show people's faces. Yeah, like remember when Bigfoot was on the phone and his wife came and yelled at
oh,
him?
Oh, that was like Muppets. You're right.
It was weird. And they did it with a couple other people too.
I have a feeling it's because it's from his point of view.
Maybe.
And so he doesn't remember what she looks like or he doesn't care. Maybe. What was she yelling about him about? That's what I was confused about. Because it was almost like, why are you calling my husband? He can't play with you tonight.
Yeah, exactly.
That was what she basically yeah. said. Yeah. Anybody, I would love, somebody needs to explain that, just that scene.
Yeah.
I understood everything else about this movie. I really did. I put it all together. That scene, I have no idea what the hell she was talking about. None.
Nope. They keep mentioning Charles Manson and the family. I guess.
Oh, that was the cult signs.
Active around that time.
Yeah, no, they were actually arresting people.
Yeah, that was the same time frame.
For if you had more than 4 people in a car.
That's right.
That's what I wrote, the cult signs. Yes. And I was like, yes. Wow. And the cop was actually really like, he was really chill. He was like, okay, no, you're good. And they, by the way, they had like all these drugs and Martin, that was when Martin Short was in the car yep. and everything. And he's like, I'm gonna go to jail. I'm too pretty to go to jail.
Mm-hmm. And then it got boring again. And then the couch that he was laying on was so loud. And then Shasta Soda came back and she was naked, which I was annoyed by, but of course you enjoyed that. And then,
I wrote tits bush, so yeah, I was like, what is going on?
And then she just kept talking and I'm not paying attention. Stop talking. Oh, he finally got her to stop talking.
Well, how did he get her to stop talking?
He got her to stop talking.
She said, what she said is, I just came back from fucking somebody else. Are you going to let me get away with that? And then he grabs her and he bends her over and he spanks her and then he fucks her.
Yep.
But what's weird to me is I didn't know who that was the whole movie until we started looking for the notes.
That naked lady was the lady from Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
It was Tina Goldstein.
I know. I was like, oh, no, not Tina.
And apparently this was her breakout role. This was her first movie, like her first big like feature movie. So yeah.
That's when I wrote down, are we going to find out that everything in this movie was in his head or was like one person, another person or something like that? Was this all a dream? Like, what is up with this crazy ass movie?
No, that was yeah, when I realized who that was, I
didn't
like,
even. I knew.
Wow.
She looked like Maura Tierney to me. But I knew that it wasn't her because it was too young to be Maura Tierney.
Yeah.
But I couldn't place who she was until I looked it up and I was like, oh no, that's Tina.
Oh, I wrote Now It's a Party, so of course. Oh, and then this is where Inherent Vice comes in, where they finally explain what the hell Inherent... I was like, oh, they're going to tell us. I'm like, licorice pizza.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Then he kept wearing this green jacket, and I wrote down that his jacket is Charles Manson-esque.
Oh, for sure. That was definite nod to, like, it was also, to me, it also looked like a nod to Taxi Driver, Robert De Niro's. Like, it's an army blouse.
Okay.
Without all the insignia.
Oh, is there anything else you'd like to say about the loud couch and the naked lady?
What? That scene was hot and sexy. It was
boring.
And all you can focus on is the loud couch. I didn't even know it was a loud couch. I thought that I'm being honest here. Totally 100% honest. I thought that that angle, that perspective, that like the way they shot that sex scene was novel and interesting. I'm just going to say that. You don't see that particular angle and effect and like just boom, like a total like wham bam thank you ma'am kind of scene. So, whatever.
No take backs.
But yeah, Inherent Vice, precious cargo can't be insured.
Somebody said to somebody else, you smell like a patchouli fart.
Yeah. Prussia guy? Who's Prussia guy? You just watched this movie too. Prussia guy.
I know. I wrote down
does dirty work.
Who wrote it?
Oh, I remember now. The guy who. Okay, so apparently, the feds and the bad guys use this guy who's like a hitman, and he's like really good at shutting his mouth and doing whatever needs to be done. So sometimes he does shit for the cops, sometimes he does shit for the bad guys. That's where he does all the dirty work. So he's the guy who's like the bald guy. He looks like a you know, your standard villain. Mm-hmm. But then they get Doc. Like he gets too close. Him. They caught him. Yeah. So he got too close and now he's like in there. He's captive.
Yeah.
And what they're going to do to him is what was like horrifying to me because
they were going to
give him a hot dose.
Yeah.
So you got to think a guy who's having trouble with, you know, reality as it is and has made a point in his life to never mess with hard drugs, to kill him that way. And they allude to the fact that this is how they kill Martin Short.
Right.
So you're like, oh, dude. The way he gets out of that, though, I thought was really cool.
Yes.
Like, and this is like the thing with this movie. It's like, I can't shit on this movie because it has moments like this. And I'm not going to give it away in case you do want to watch it and you haven't seen it. And we haven't given away too much stuff. But the way he gets out of it is like a little MacGyver-y, but also like a caged, trapped animal. Like, he's like, this is it. I'm fighting for my fucking life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good. It's a good violent scene. With a lot of intensity and action. And yeah, I liked that part.
So then he took the drugs because he drove off with Bigfoot and Bigfoot put all the drugs in his car.
Oh yeah. He was trying to frame him so he could get a bust.
Yes.
I don't think it was more like so much about like, hey, I don't like you. I'm going to frame you. I looked at it like he was hurting in his career.
Yeah.
Which is what they kind of
get the credit.
Yeah. Which is what I thought they might've been mentioning with his wife yelling at him.
Yeah.
Like, he's all fucked up in his career because of you or something. And I'm like, why? It was like, were they buddies in high school or something? That was what I was trying to figure out. They were like friends is what I got.
I think so.
And they went like, you know what it might have been? He might have been in the academy with him. And then he washed out because that's why he's a detective and not a cop. Because they did mention that he had been a cop. Or at least wanted to be, I believe.
So, I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah.
So then he took the drugs into his house and Chimpokemon, the girl's dad. That's what I wrote down.
This is why I like it when you drink when we do these. Chiponica.
Yeah, that girl called him because he's involved in all the shenanigans in this crappy movie.
Yeah.
So Doc meets with the girl's dad and the dad was totally ridiculous. He was complaining about all the things that the weird dentist... What was Martin Short's character's name?
Blatnoid.
Yeah.
Dr. Blatnoid.
So he forced the girl, Chimpokemon, to listen to her original Broadway soundtrack albums while they were having relations.
Broadway.
Yeah. Like, he's like...
Just like...
I don't listen to the
terrible Broadway. Yes. Yes. Yes.
It's like, what? In random cheap hotel rooms.
It's like okay. You know he's the
was
one.
Was it consensual? Yes. Okay, then what's the problem?
Well, my point is, you know he's the one that had him killed.
Yeah.
And he had him killed because he made his daughter listen to terrible music.
Really? It was just...
And which is ironic, because I think all Paul Thomas Anderson movies have terrible fucking music, ladies and gentlemen. Sorry. I don't like your music, Paul Thomas Anderson. Don't like it.
Okay.
Don't like it.
So they negotiated to give the drugs back, and then he got Owen Wilson's character. I'm sorry, I don't remember the character's name.
It doesn't matter.
The actor, black character.
Just call him Wow.
Out of the cult. He had on some really nice overalls, and then he got to go back to his ugly baby and his toothy wife.
Oh, that's right. The teeth. I forgot all about that. She had these really big teeth because... Because
heroin destroys your teeth.
Meth or heroin,
yeah. So the syndicate of Golden Fang would replace your teeth for you.
Yeah, but also, Golden Fang was also the name of the ship. But then it had been renamed to something else.
Oh, yeah, we forgot because Bigfoot and Benicio del Toro's character were having lunch at this little restaurant on the beach.
Yeah, the little cafe.
Boats.
Yeah,
and
it was
they talked
cool.
about Golden Fang boat.
Yeah, it was cool. That was like it was
Maybe
a nice little moment. Yeah, me too. It's apparently it was supposed to be. I wrote this Gordita Beach,
it
California.
Was supposed to be romantic.
It looked nice. Oh, well, I don't know about all that, but the area looked nice. That's what I'm saying. But yeah, Vigilant California. That's when the girls and they look like they have like a station wagon. They look like not bad guys, which is what I always say.
Yeah.
They don't look like bad guys. It's a mom and a daughter.
Yes.
And they're pure evil.
Gypsies.
I don't know how else to say it. And then I wrote.
So then.
Yeah.
So then Doc is sitting at home smoking his weed. And then Bigfoot just knocks down
yep.
his door.
Literally knocks his fucking
knocks
door down.
Knocks his door down. And then he stomps all over the nice stained glass in the door.
Yep.
And he sounded like he was reciting lines. He literally sounded to me like he was reciting lines, not for the movie, but reciting other lines.
Yes.
It was really
no,
weird.
Yeah, because he's an actor. Remember, in this, he's also an actor. But then he ate the pot.
He ate the joint.
He said something about, making the papers match. And I'm like, what is he talking? And then you're like, it's the rolling papers. Like,
yes.
You looked at me like, oh, I was like, oh, and then he started eating the pot.
No, and I know.
It's like, God, you're such a square.
I'm more square, and even I know.
And then I wrote Thomas Pynchon novel. That was it. That was the last note I wrote.
So here's my summary. Unfortunately, I would not recommend. It was slow. It did not make sense. Nothing is explained. It was not funny. It was boring. People just talk and talk about nonsense, and you aren't even sure if they are real or if it's Doc's hallucination.
Yeah. Okay. Let me just ask you this. Would you recommend it to PBJ?
Peanut butter and jelly? No.
No?
No.
I would.
To get him back.
Not to get him back. I think he would actually like this movie.
Yeah,
this is the kind of movie I think he would like.
Maybe.
Except for the music. I think he would hate the music just as much as I did. But yeah, I think he could like chill with it. I don't think it would be like his favorite movie or anything, but yeah. I think he would enjoy it. Mm-hmm. So this is the point where I reveal the word of the day.
In Greece.
Oh, I forgot to talk about the word of the day thing.
Yeah.
Word of the day.
Anyways.
I kicked your ass. So the word of the day is where it's, you know, the word of the day, folks. You know, it's been around since before
Pee-wee's
Playhouse. Yeah, RIP. Oh my God, by the way, we watched his HBO special after he passed away.
Oh, so funny.
Except for the very end when he's like, I can fly.
That was sad.
I was like, oh my God, I'm dying right now. Freaking sad. So the word of the day was dizzard, which is a kind of blockhead
it's like
or nitwit.
Wizard with a D.
Yeah, that's so wizard. It's not like that. But it's dizzard is a blockhead or a nitwit. And I did this as an actual nod to H-Man, who has in his bio, this is what his bio says, a retarded wizard in the forest. Is a staunch fan of Uwe Boll and Rob Schneider and thinks that Pia Sidora is the bestest actress ever. Loves to eat live puppies. That's what
I like
H-
Rob Schneider.
That's what H-Man wrote. Well, yeah, he went after her on Twitter. I was like, I literally forced H-Man to go on Twitter. He didn't want to do it.
Like you forced me to go on the Facebook.
On the Facebook, yeah. And he said something about Pia Zadora, and she, like, replied to him. He, like, made fun of her dancing or something, and she, like, called him an asshole.
Oh, no.
That's why he said that in his bio.
Whoops.
So, Pia Zadora, nothing personal.
How you doing?
I think he was more mad at me for making him get on Twitter.
Oh,
he didn't understand what it was about. I don't even think he knew it was her or not. But anyway. So, yeah. And now we'll do the last bit. And then you can tell me your she pick. I cannot wait for this. So, this is On This Day in History. This released on January 9th of 2014. Do you know who was born on January 9th, 1913?
I couldn't begin to guess.
Diet milk? Richard Nixon.
Oh.
So this is like two movies now that we've watched where back to back, where Paul Thomas Anderson is like obsessed with Nixon. He has to like put him in his movies for some reason. I don't know if it's just because of the time frame, but I feel like he likes to take little digs at Nixon. So yeah, it was Tricky Dick's birthday, January 9th, 1913. So that's all I got. That's all I got. It's your show now. All
right,
Madison.
So there were a lot of actors and actresses in this movie that I could choose from. And I did click on a lot of different people in IMDb to choose my movie. I finally chose a movie that Reese Witherspoon is in.
Okay, Reese Witherspoon. Not... Who did I pick? Well, I said it was Babylon. But why was I seeing Babylon? Who was in that?
I did see Babylon. I don't remember who was in it, though.
It was Benicio del Toro? It was a girl. Anyway.
Maybe it was Tina. The movie that I chose was...
Don't tell me. You got to tell me the person and stuff. Let me try to guess.
Okay.
Who's the person?
Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, you said Reese Witherspoon. Okay. Oh, no. Is it Walk the Line?
No. I chose something that I thought would be fun.
Is it Hope Floats or the Georgia one?
No.
Sweet Home Alabama?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Okay. Give me like a time frame. What? When did it come out?
I think it came out in like the 90s.
Oh boy. This is revenge for Mac and me.
No, this is a really good movie. I like this movie a lot.
Okay. All right. It's not Fear, is it? I've seen that.
No, it's not Fear. We just watched.
Remember when he made fun of me?
It came out in 2000, actually. Yes, I remember.
Marky Mark, he made fun of me.
Not Cruel Intentions.
It's not Cruel Intentions, and it's not Fear. 90s movies.
It came out in 2000.
Oh, 2000. I'm trying to think of where I was and what I was doing. I was in college. Is it a funny movie? Is it a comedy?
I wouldn't call it a comedy.
Oh, God.
What did IMDb classify it as?
It's not Shakespeare in Love, is it? That was 99, I think.
Crime, drama, horror.
Oh, okay. I'm actually excited. Crime, drama, horror with Reese Witherspoon. In 2000. What was that movie? The Collector? With Dana? Not Dana. Carrie Elwes?
Nope.
Along Came a Spider.
Nope.
That's it. That's my last guess. I don't know.
American Psycho.
Oh, shit. I watched that once. And I was like, I don't get it. So it'll be interesting to watch it again.
Opportunity to watch it.
So Reese Witherspoon was in that. I didn't even know she was in that.
Yes, she has a great line.
You're like, is it a comedy? American Psycho is not a comedy. I could have told you that, like, instantly. It does have some moments that are satirical.
Yes.
But I wouldn't call it a comedy.
No, but I'm sure we'll chuckle at some points.
All right.
She does have a great line, which I'm sure we'll discuss at length in our next podcast. So stay tuned for that, boys and girls.
Yes, please stay tuned. And thank you for joining us on this wonderful adventure of our he pick, she pick craziness. And I don't know. May the force be with you. Make sure you check out filmgrouch.com and all the socials and all that stuff. I'm on X now, it's called. It's not Twitter anymore.
X gonna give it to
you. There you go. On that note. wait, let me just say, I don't even know what this is referring to, but I'm gonna write it.
You smell like a chili fart.
No, change your hair, change your life. Don't know what it means, but it's great advice, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Bye.
Bye.